You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples. So this morning, I wanted to get into our message in just a minute. Before we were getting ready this week and I was getting ready to speak, Justin had asked me, hey, why don't you send a graphic about what your message is about? And I said, you know what, let's not do that, because I'll tell you why, what my message is about in a minute. But it just reminds me, why don't we, right where we are, every person watching, I'd like for us to take a moment and just pray for the Cardinal family. If you don't know, Art Johansson passed away just this last week. Art is Julie's father. He has been a part of City Bible Church, now known as Manna House Church in Portland, Oregon, a church that we are closely affiliated with for the last almost 40 years. But he's been there for almost 50-some years as a part of that church, serving as an elder, an incredible leader. Many of us have gotten to know him over the years because he's traveled here so much to see Justin and Julie. They're there right now in Portland. Of course, it's a difficult time to lose someone in this kind of state and just the difficulties of even having funeral service. And let's just pray for peace for Justin and Julie right now and the kids and their whole extended family. Randy is Art's wife's name. So if you can, just take a moment. Let's just pray in our homes for their family. God, we just ask right now for your peace over Justin and Julie. God, we ask for your peace over Randy, God, and all the kids, God, all of the grandkids. Father, we even ask for your peace over that church that he has served at for so long, God, pouring his life into, Father. So we just ask that your Holy Spirit would minister in just an unbelievable way, God, that we know we need you in regular circumstances, but God, when life gets really hard, when we lose the people we love most, God, we ask right now that your Holy Spirit would minister in that moment, God, that your peace would come into their hearts, God, that peace that passes understanding would just dwell inside us. And so, Father, we ask right now for your blessing over that family as they just navigate this difficult time. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, this morning, the message that we're going to talk about is repentance. Repentance. How many of us love that word, repentance? So, as I was getting ready after Easter, I really felt like this was the word that, Jesus or Holy Spirit was leading me to speak about. And before you jump off, before you freak out about it and all that, I want to talk sincerely. What does this mean? And I want to read from Matthew 4 and give you a little bit of just a scenario of where this word comes into our lives, why it's in Christianity. Unfortunately, many of us have heard it in such a painful way. We hear this word repent. We almost hear an angry voice behind it, right? Or if you've ever seen any movie that likes to mock Christianity, you always got the guy in the street corner, and he's shouting, repent and turn from your sin and repent. There's always this kind of like push or forcefulness behind the word. And I would say that, honestly, probably in Christianity, this has been misused. And then, even if it's not misused, we hear it in a really tough way. It's hard to swallow, right? Like, someone comes to you and like, have you repented? I mean, that's not going to make you feel all cuddly and fuzzy and warm, like, oh, yes, I just love repentance. No one's saying that in their heart, usually. But it's not necessarily the way it's supposed to be. And I want to start by reading Matthew 4, or we're just going to read a couple verses, but I'll give you a scenario. So Matthew 4 picks up. It's right after the baptism of Jesus. So Jesus goes to John the Baptist, and there's this incredible scene that takes place. It says that John, as he baptized him, the heavens split open, and God's voice comes out of the heavens and tells Jesus, this is my son in whom I am pleased. And then it says that the Holy Spirit comes and rests on Jesus in the form of a dove. So we see this incredible moment take place. And then immediately after that, at the beginning of Matthew 4, it says that Jesus was led into the desert to be tempted by the Holy, he's led by the Holy Spirit, but to be tempted by the devil. And we see this story of temptation that takes place, and it's an interesting thoughts behind that. I don't want to get into that. That could be a whole nother message. But we get down to around verse 12, And Jesus has just kind of finished this moment in the desert. And it says, then Jesus heard that John had been arrested, and he left Judea and returned to Galilee. So here he is. He's hearing that John was just arrested after he had just been baptized by him. After his time in the desert, he now is going back to Galilee, where he's from. And verse 17 says this, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry here on this earth. And these are the words that he uses first. Repent and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So, you know, we love to talk about how wonderful Jesus is and how nice he is and how much he loves us, and all of those are absolutely true, but we don't always want to line up these kinds of sayings with Jesus. Repent is the first thing Jesus tells us to do when he begins his ministry. The first thing, repent. So I want to take a second. Repent. So repentance, the word in Greek, it's metanoia. I put it in your notes. I don't know if we were able to get notes out to you today, but we'll probably upload them at some point. The word is metanoia, and it means this, to change one's mind. To change one's mind. It's also associated with to change one's direction. Both of them were used synonymously, to change one's mind and to change one's direction. So when Jesus comes and says, repent and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near, it's not this scary moment. You see, it's been unfortunately abused where it now sounds like a scary thing. If, you know, like, honestly, in Christianity, sometimes I categorize people as, oh, that's a repentance preacher. And I generally don't mean it nicely. That's my confession. That means someone's probably preaching fire and brimstone, and if you don't repent, then God's going to come and get you. But the truth is, repentance was actually supposed to be a hope-filled statement. This statement here was actually declaring hope to the people that were hearing it, not what we're hearing. Because when he says repent and turn to God, he's saying change your mind and whatever it was focused on. You just heard Heather talk about, you know, or even Elaine in worship started talking about, what do you focus on? What are you seeing? You know, sometimes we're supposed to take what we were staring at and change our mind and not stare at that anymore and turn to God. This is what he's saying. Leave what you were looking at, turn to God, and then the declaration is, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, unfortunately, what we've twisted that to be is, if you don't repent, the kingdom of heaven is near means you're going to die. That's what we're saying when you've heard people yell that scripture out or kind of put it on a sign, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It's like, oh my God, if I don't repent right now, I might die and go to hell. But that's not what the statement was about. The statement was actually supposed to be hopeful. It was, change your mind, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now let's think about, what is the kingdom of heaven supposed to be to us? When we think about heaven, it's not a bad place. It's not the end of all things. It's actually the beginning of an eternity in a world the way it was supposed to be. In a world without sin, without pain, in a world without tears, the scriptures describe it, in a world where we don't understand despair and disease anymore, where a world where we have now left what we were looking at, we've turned to God, and the kingdom of heaven is now in our lives, rather than a world full of despair that we're used to. This was a hope-filled statement. Repent didn't have all the connotations that it had to us now. It just meant turn away from this world full of junk and turn towards a kingdom that is near. Heaven. And so when we say this thing, it's not supposed to fill us with fear. It's not even supposed to repulse us. It should actually draw us in. It should convince us, man, I need to change what I'm focused on. I need to change what my mind is focused on. And I need to turn to God, because his kingdom, his goodness, his promises, everything that he has for us is near us. And that's what we want to be near, right? We don't want to live in the world full of disease our whole lives. You know, I bring this scripture up all the time, and because it's so important, and it's the Our Father prayer. Many of us have known this. This is a moment where the disciples ask Jesus, teach us how to pray, and this is what he says. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to believe for the kingdom of heaven right now in our lives. And so when we hear that Jesus' ministry begins with this, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now, if you were with us just 2 weeks ago on Palm Sunday, I talked about sin quite a bit. Actually, no, it might have been Good Friday, one of those services. On Good Friday, I think I talked about sin. And what does it mean? It means missing the mark, not living the way we were designed to live. It was this arrow term, right? The archery term, where if we don't hit the bullseye, we've sinned, we've missed. And so when he says, repent of your sins, he's saying, turn away from missing the mark in your life. Turn away from the way that you weren't designed to live. Turn towards God and move towards the kingdom of heaven because it's near you. The goodness, the promises, and all the stuff that God has for us, it's near you. Now, doesn't that sound a little more hope-filled than maybe the billboard sign or the guy in the street corner that says, repent and turn? That's not what we're supposed to feel when we hear the word repentance. When I hear the word repentance now that I've let God change my mind, I start to think it's possible for me to be different. It's possible for me to change. You know, I always hear, especially in marriage relationships, people say, oh, they've changed. You should be thankful that a person changes and that a person can change. I think one of the greatest lies is when other people say, no one ever changes. That's not true. We change all the time. And this word repent is imploring us to change in a certain way, to actually turn from ways that hurt us and destroy us and wreck the world around us, and to turn to ways that build us up and encourage us and bring us hope. That's a word I want to embrace. I want to repent from believing that healing doesn't happen and believing that this is the only way that life is going to be and believing all these wrong things. And I want to turn towards a kingdom that says anything is possible in Jesus. And I want to turn towards a kingdom that says God works everything out for good for those who love him. I want to repent from my understanding of certain life ways and turns towards the ways of living that Jesus has designed for us since the beginning of time. That's what repentance is supposed to do. It's supposed to pull on our hearts. It's supposed to give us hope. You know, Romans 12:2, we'll jump there now. This is Paul writing to the Romans, and he's kind of opening this up, this idea of repentance. And if you read through all the Gospels, Jesus says this so many times, repent, repent, repent. And he's trying to get them, change your mind. Change how you think. And he says this in Romans 12:2, Paul. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In the English Standard Version of the translation of this scripture, it says it this way: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's repentance right there. It's a mind change. It's a renewal of this thing up inside our head. You know, I wrote down this quote on the notes, and I'll read it to you. It says, I wrote this, trying to change our actions without first having our minds renewed is a futile act. Thoughts always precede action. Listen, so often when we come to Christianity, Or maybe our perception of when we come to Christianity is, I've got to get my life right. I've got to stop swearing. I've got to maybe stop drinking so much. I've got to stop being rude or angry. I've got to stop this. I've got to stop that. And we get this action list in our hearts, and we're like, okay, this is what has to change for me to now be Christian. In order for me to go to church on Sunday, I've got to change these actions. But Jesus actually comes at it completely opposite. And he actually almost says nothing about our actions and is always pointed right at our heart, right at our mind, and says, change your mind. Because this is how our lives work. This is how we work. If our mind changes, our externals change. If my mind changes about a situation I'm living in, then my actions line up with my thinking. You can't make your actions line up with a way you don't think. With a way you don't think. And if you do, it's just fake. And everyone knows it. We've seen that. We have friends that fake their lives, don't we? You can see it. You can see them trying to put on the right show in the right moment. No one wants that. But when our thinking is a certain way, our actions often line up with it. You know, I've known a lot of people that have walked through addictions. And I've walked through addictions with a lot of people, and I've been involved with different organizations that work in that Teen Challenge guys. And one time I was visiting Teen Challenge, and the guy said this to me. He goes, we can break any addiction in 30 days. But their program is 15 months long. He goes, it takes the other 14 months of why the person's addicted. Because it's always a mind thing. The reasons we act in certain ways, the reasons we do certain things in our life is because of what's happening up here first. And so Jesus comes on the scene, and his first word to us is, change your mind. Change how you think. And then turn to God, because the kingdom of heaven is near. So Jesus implores us, change what's happening up here. You know, I was thinking about Easter and Palm Sunday and Good Friday, and we talked about salvation, we talked about coming into Jesus' family, talked about God including all of us, but I'll tell you, that is just the starting line of following God. Salvation is not some end-all, be-all, it's just the beginning. It's like walking through the door into someone's house. You don't stay there at the door if you want to be a part of the family. You got to take your shoes off, you got to take your coat off, you got to sit at the table. And that takes certain actions in our lives. It takes certain thinking for God to do that in us. It takes repentance, a turning of our hearts to Him, a turning of our actions to Him. Matthew 3:8, Jesus says this. He says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. Let me put it in a little bit of today's terms, because he's talking to Jewish people. But if this was Jesus talking to Christians, us right now, he would say similar, prove by the way you live that you've repented of your sins, that you've changed your mind and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe because we go to church. We're safe because I've read my Bible. We're safe because I said a prayer once. That's not what God's intention is. He says, prove it by the way you live that your mind has been changed and that you have turned to God. Prove by the way we live. So first, God wants to work in our minds. And when he comes and captures our hearts and we come into his family, he's accepting of everything. He doesn't put us out because of actions or mistakes or any of that stuff. In fact, he just keeps accepting us and we can just keep coming in. But then he says, let me change your mind. That's the next step. The next step is saying, God, I give you free rein in my life. To change the way I think, to change the way I see things, and to ultimately change my actions for good. When we come to Jesus, our lives should look different after. Every time that we spend time with God, whether it's in the car and we're just listening to worship music, or we take a few minutes to pray while we're standing in the shower, or we tune in online to listen to a service or to listen to an encouraging word, or to we join a prayer moment on Zoom, every time we connect with God, we should be changed. You know, last week, we didn't tell you this, but our Good Friday service that we posted live, or 2 weeks ago now, we did that pre-recorded the day before. And we wanted to be at home and enjoy it with our family, so we pre-recorded it. We get all done, we're all excited, and the next morning we found out that it didn't work. That basically our recording was glitchy, and it was just terrible. So we come back, we're like, okay, we got to do this again. And it felt weird. It felt weird, like, man, how am I going to... And so the guys were all getting ready, and someone was saying, okay, so you're pretty much going to follow the exact same stuff. And I said, no, I'm sure it's going to be a different message. And they laughed, and I said, well, mostly because I'm different than I was yesterday. And it was not a joke. I was serious. I'll probably never be able to speak the same message twice. I just can't. Because honestly, I'm ever changing, and that's a good thing. Jesus is changing me. And so if I speak something yesterday, even if it's on the same topic, the way it's going to be spoken today is different because God has changed me. Every time we spend a moment with Christ, every time we ask the Holy Spirit to come in, we should become different people. That's good. And this is the promise that we read in Romans, that he would change us into a new person by the renewing of our mind. That word renewing out of Romans 12, it was the picture that was going along with it in their language was actually a processing word. It wasn't an instantaneous word. I think sometimes we also come with this illusion that I'm going to just pray a prayer and God's going to change me and I'll be perfect. I'll no longer have any of these addictions. I'll no longer have any of these, things that want to pull me, and I'll no longer be tempted by any of the things it was. But it's just not the way it is. God has to renew our mind. It's a process. Will we let God process our minds? 2 Corinthians 10:5. I want to read this and kind of put this question out there. So Jesus is first concerned with our mind and our hearts, but then he moves to our actions, because once our mind is changed, our actions should change. Repentance should show something different inside us. Turning our minds in a certain way, turning towards God, should change the way we act. Jesus says that in Matthew 3, by prove it. But then in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes it this way. He says, and actually, I want to answer this question. So how do you actually do that? I think sometimes in Christianity, we're all like theoretical and we just have these ideas. But then it's like, how do we actually do this? How do we change the way we think? Have you ever just tried? It's not easy. It's easy to get down the same rabbit trails of thoughts, right? Especially if you're worrying right now, or if you have anxiety right now, how easy is it to just look at one title of one news article, and then like an hour later, you've just realized you've watched like 10 videos, 9 articles about the coronavirus, and you get sucked into this world, and you're all the way down this path of anxiety, this path of worry and fear. It's easy for us to get sucked back into the way we think. But how do we actually change how we think? How do we change these actions? And I've always loved this scripture from 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. And this is Paul writing. He says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God." So he's talking about knowing God. And he says, "We destroy these arguments, every lofty opinion raised against." So any thought that is contrary to God, any thought that goes against what God wants you to think, that's what he's referring to here. And he says, "And we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Every thought captive. Now, many years ago, I remember struggling with some honest fear all the time. And I was with a close friend of mine, and he was challenging me on my thoughts and how to change them. And I was literally like, how do you just change your thoughts? I don't get it. And he read this scripture and he says, you've got to take every thought captive. And I'll be honest, this is what I do. And I hope this is a little bit helpful for you. When you find yourself thinking in wrong ways, when you find yourself thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about that might lead you to actions you shouldn't be doing, you've got to take that thought captive. And this is what I do. I first recognize it. I'll literally have a moment in my mind where I realize, why am I thinking this? Why am I thinking about that thing? Why am I dwelling on this action? Why am I dwelling on this thing? And then I usually whisper to myself, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That's kind of a Christian word, but it works for me. I literally say, I cast that out of my mind in Jesus' name. I use Jesus' name because I believe it has power, and I take the thought captive, and I literally say to it, you can't live in my mind. You know, there's scripture that says to us in Philippians that not every thought in our minds is ours. It says that the enemy shoots them in like fiery darts. So sometimes you think you're the one thinking it, but honestly, the enemy, the one who wants to kill, steal, and destroy our lives, he shoots thoughts into our mind because he also knows that our mind is the first place he's got to win. So he puts a thought in there. And in that moment, we have a choice. Do we grab hold of the thought and do we follow it? Or do we cast it out? Do we take it captive and get rid of it? Like Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians. And I have found that every time, literally every time, that I am having a thought or worrying or fear or thinking in a wrong way, and I realize it and I take that thought captive and I say those words, I cast this out in Jesus' name, or I rebuke this in Jesus' name, or God, I don't want these thoughts in Jesus' name, that you know what happens? They stop. They literally stop just like that. And if you want to see actions in your life change, you've got to change the mind thoughts before. You've got to take them captive and get rid of them. This is the way for us to really live in repentance. You see, repentance in Christianity has been this maybe one-time thing, or we only use it when we've sinned, right? Or maybe if you're brought up in a more traditional thing, you would confess your sins to a priest, and it was this idea of repentance was, I have to tell somebody what I did wrong, and then I have to pay, usually some sort of action, for it. But repentance was never meant to be just this momentary thing. It was never meant to be just even a place of salvation where, oh, I repented that I lived a certain way, and now I'm turning to God, and it's this one-time thing. Repentance should be a daily, ongoing, life-changing thing for us. And when we embrace repentance, which is just, again, our minds changing, then we can actually begin to walk towards all God has for us, the kingdom of heaven. I think honestly, often we don't see the kingdom of heaven like we want because we aren't thinking about the kingdom of heaven like we should. We're thinking about everything that's happening in this world and the realities of what we're suffering with right now and the realities of what we're dealing with right now. And so we dwell only on the kingdom of this world and not on the kingdom of heaven like Jesus was talking about. And we haven't turned. We haven't repented. We haven't looked at this thing and said, no, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to think this way and turn. We're supposed to grab that hope-filled idea. But our life gets trapped over here in a different kingdom because our mind is dwelling on that. And if we want to see our lives transformed, which is what Romans 12 said, God wants to transform us, it has to begin with repentance in our minds. A change of how our minds work. And we can agree with the process of Jesus. I don't want to say it's completely up to us. It's not. In fact, this has to be a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. For us to really change, it's not even us doing it, but we can agree with the process. God always somehow makes us be a part of what he's doing in us. He never just fully does it for us. He's a good dad. He makes us work alongside him. And so he says, listen, I'm going to do the real work, but you just need to take the thought captive. You just need to resist a little bit. You just need to change your mind a little bit. I'll do the rest of the work. So first, we have to say, God, do a work in my mind. And secondly, we have to agree with the process of it. I think so many people watching today, we're caught in wrong ways of thinking. We're trapped in thinking in wrong ways. And for many of us, it doesn't just stay as thoughts. It leads to actions that hurt us, that destroy us, that even hurt the people around us. That's what sin is. And God wants us to move away from those things today and move towards his kingdom. A kingdom full of promise and wholeness. A kingdom full of healing. A kingdom full of true life is what we're looking for. Purpose. And all we have to do is say, God, change my mind. Just as we end today, wherever you are, I know that life can be distracting at home, and it's probably sometimes hard to even pay attention to a message and really focus on what's going on. But if you can, in any way that you can, take a moment without distraction and ask yourself this: God, what thought patterns in my life need to change? What thought patterns, what things do I keep dwelling on in my mind that need to change? And then I want to pray right now that this week would begin a week where we are transformed in our minds. That people who are living under fear and anxiety and worry, that those things would be turned away from, and we would be looking at peace and hope and joy and all the promises that Jesus has for us. So as you think of those things in your mind right now, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit comes and begins a work of repentance in your heart. A work of turning from our ways to his ways. So God, we just thank you this morning. God, we thank you that these words that first came out of your mouth at the beginning of your ministry, repent and turn from your sins. Turn to God for the kingdom of heaven of near. It was not supposed to be a scary moment. It was not supposed to be this fearful thing that is just shouted out. It was actually a hope-filled statement that says you can change from living in a certain way to living in a new way, and it begins in your mind. So God, we thank you that that is the truth of what you're saying to us today. God, you want to give us hope today. You want to give us joy today. God, I pray right now for joy in every household. God, not that we would, in the middle of this difficult season, that we wouldn't just be survivors, but God, we would be so filled with joy that the world around us would say, how can you be happy in this moment? How can you have joy in this difficult season? God, that we would be able to say, it's because I don't just see the kingdom of this world, I see God's kingdom. I see a world of hope. And so, God, we just ask right now, help our minds to change. Help us be a people that embrace repentance, that embrace change inside us. And, God, we just ask right now for your Holy Spirit in every room, in every household, in every person, and in every mind this week, that we would hear story after story of you transforming our minds, renewing our minds. We just thank you for that work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you tuned in. Just be blessed this week. We'll be doing a couple things throughout the week. Tune in for our prayer meetings on Zoom, and we'll probably have some other stuff going on. But we just want to thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day, and enjoy your day at home.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.